Welcome to Vegan Online Academy podcast.
The recipe with too many stages. I'm really quite lazy, actually, to be honest with you. You'll be getting to realise this. So if I can go vegan, anyone can. Anyway, so then I moved home and I wanted to, and my friend who also did boot camp, she also then went on to do Zumba when it first started. And I liked the dance. I got a bit of rhythm and I really enjoyed the dancing aspect of it. So that was when I moved home. By this point, my kids are a little bit older and I'm not suffering with the sickness anymore, but I need to do something about my fitness. My youngest is, you know, getting through primary school and now I've got a little bit of an opportunity to do that. So I thought, right, do it now in your 40s or you're never going to do it. It'll be not too late, but it's, you know, it'll be a lot harder to do when you're older and metabolism is slowing down. So I thought, now's the time, do it now. Like a lot of women do, you know, they get to that sort of 40s, the children are getting a bit older and they think, right now I need to get fit. So that was me. And so there was a Zumba class in the area and I went in. That was my first step back in the door and I really enjoyed it. And then from there, two friends recommended a HIIT class, which is high intensity interval training. It's like 20, 30, 40, 50 seconds worth of exercise as fast as you can with a short break and then do it again for however many rounds. And so they recommended that to me in a nearby village. To be honest, their recommendation was more about the guy than the exercises, but I wasn't looking for a guy, but I wanted to get fit. So okay, then I'll go along. Anyway, 2 years later, I'm fit. I run. I never used to run. Running would have terrified me. I used to think people who ran were insane, and the idea of running was, if you were going to pick something, the hardest thing ever to do for me would be to run. Would be the biggest challenge out of anything that you could imagine. I now run 10, 11, 12 K, 5 Ks whenever I want. I lost a lot of weight. I lift weights on I go to a barbell class, so I lift a lot of kilograms on the weight on my shoulders and do all the squats with the goblet squats and things like that. So I do a bit of Pilates and yoga. So once I went to this HIIT class, it was really effective. The guy, my friends are right, he knew his stuff and he wouldn't let you off with doing it in the wrong form. So, and I like that. I don't want to do something badly. I'm quite a fussy fart. If I'm doing it, I want to do it right. I want to do it well. So he taught you a lot. You learned a lot. And plus he would push you on. And it was the group of, I didn't expect to make friends there. So I was going to get fit and hopefully not fall out with anyone. But no, we've got a really good gang. We go out nights out. So that has been a huge boost. And it was around about the same time I changed my diet. I think I was vegan before that, though, Caroline. I'm pretty sure when I went vegan, we were camping one summer, and I was still heavy. So I think I went vegan slightly before, because I remember telling everyone at the class, oh, yes, I'm vegan. And the guy was pretty impressed because he was trying to go vegan. So that was a big kudos to me at the time, a good in for me. But when I first started exercising with my friend back where I used to live, and I would get really sweaty, it would sting. It was really red and raw, and I kept going. I persevered because I'm a bit bloody-minded and stupid. I ended up in hospital because I've got eczema, and it really aggravated that. So I don't know whether, and now when I went back with my vegan diet, I went back to this new HIIT class where I live now and started fitness all over again and was successful. It didn't sting. So I can't say that, I can't say for sure the vegan diet has cured that, but you could guess that, you know, if you're eating and putting rubbish into your body, you're sweating out. I know it's just supposed to be salt and water, but perhaps my skin wasn't as healthy then and it stung. I don't know how it works, but certainly just from purely evidence point of view, when I wasn't vegan, I was exercising, I sweated, it stung, it was really sore and horrible. And when I was and I sweated, and I sweat a lot, really 2 minutes in, I'm a beetroot. It's actually healthy, it doesn't sting, and it's quite good as my skin doesn't produce enough sebum. That's what's wrong with it. So, and sweating and exercise seems to be quite compatible with that. Whereas beforehand, it was, I ended up in hospital. So that's been the change, yeah, definite change.
So that's really interesting in terms of, because you've got quite a lot going on in your life there. You're switching over to a plant-based vegan diet. You've got a big exercise program and exercise challenge on the go. And you're also managing your autoimmune condition. Tell us a little bit about how you feel your vegan diet is helping you with the energy for all your exercise. And also then you can maybe go on to tell us a little bit about your eczema and how that works with the vegan diet as well.
Well, what I can say is... once I went to my first class and I started to get a little bit fitter, then I noticed other classes and I wanted to do Pilates. It really helps your core. And, well, when you get friends at a class, they're always going to another class. And so you get in a group and you say, oh, come on now, we'll go and do this class. And because I was able to do that when the kids were a bit older, I was doing about 10 classes a week, sort of two a day, including running. And people in the class were sort of going, oh, I don't know how you manage, how have you got the energy? But I was all right. I felt quite energized afterwards. And I give it, when I do a class, I give it 100%. I don't like to do a half-assed class. I wouldn't like to do that. I would feel bad. So I always try my best. So I always try my hardest and put in the effort. And when they come to my classes with me, some of my friends, they do say, how do you manage? I wish you had your energy, but I don't feel like I don't have enough energy. So is that down to my good health diet? I suppose if I had a bad diet, I wouldn't have so much energy. So, and I recover pretty quickly. Like I can do an exercise class one day and I'm ready for another one the next day. I'm not like, so no, I do have a lot of energy for the fitness.
Tell us a little bit more about your eczema and how you've managed that, because I feel that is hugely better now.
It is. There's lots of aspects to that. I mean, I think the thing with it is, as I explained before, you'll get red, itchy, you're more prone to infection or red areas, which will get itchy, and then your skin will get broken, and it takes a while to heal. But laterally, so I would get sweaty bits behind my knees, in my elbows as a kid. Then as I got to teenager, it was, hit my face. It was pretty bad. Flaky all over my eyebrows, my lips, my face, ears, everywhere. It was pretty horrible. I had two fingers that were bad as a child, and it spread to from there over all hands. It's everywhere. But it's all right just now. It was bad. And I think about age 12, there was a low point where it was bright red all over, like really sore, like a lobster. I was crying, and they took me to see a dermatologist in Aberdeen. She was kind of harsh. She actually said, there's nothing we can do for you. And it's a chronic condition, you can't cure it. But I remember that was hard to take. That was low. I was crying in the back of the car, and that was a pretty day. I didn't know where to go from there. I'd had it by that point. And I think I just stumbled and staggered on through the teenage years. And the tricky bit is, when you go to the doctor, the standard prescription is steroid cream. And it's a healing thing. It quickly heals what you have. So you've got broken, rubbishy, infected skin. You might need the antibiotics to kill the infection. And then to heal it over, you get the steroid cream. And it works. Or it's not going to happen. So you do have to try and ease off and then use it when needed. But I was really bad. A lot for a long time, and my worst I was 19, 18. I had infection. You can smell it. It's terrifying. And then I stuck to my sheets. My skin was weeping all over. Managed to somehow get into hospital. I had septicemia around about the same time. It started in my ankles actually, which was lucky. My ankles and legs and feet swelled up. I was living with my husband at the time. Thank goodness, put me in his shoes, drove me to the hospital, but it was a weekend. There weren't any doctors on, they were coming round on Monday, and I lost consciousness. I was in and out of consciousness. And my husband, Gary, basically stopped his feet and said, get someone now. And if he hadn't have done within an hour, so that would have been me. So he saved my life. But that was just infection, got in through the ankles, into the bloodstream. And I had a lucky escape at that age. And the moisturising creams, for years I never really got one that worked. They would sit on the dry skin and just soak it in and then that whole layer would come off. So I was for a long time, I was like that skin, there was no decent layer. It would flake off, scab off. Even when you tried to moisturize it, it wouldn't stay on because the moisturizer didn't really prevent the flaking. And then that would be itchy. And if that came off before the underlying skin layer was a good layer of skin, it just dries, cracked, and scabs. And you're in that cycle for a long time. And to get out of it can take weeks or months until your skin regrows and regenerates to a healthy skin that is going to, you know, stay on and stay in good condition. But now I have a moisturizer and I've had it for a while. So thank God I found that. That's under control. But the flare-ups that I used to get, they're rare now. So I can't relate it specifically to the vegan diet, but I can say that I was worse. I'm a lot better now. So I've got a better routine. I've got a better diet and I've got a better routine. And the diet has got to help. One clue is when I was 6 months old and mom stopped breastfeeding me, that's when it started, and she would put straight onto the cow's milk. And that's what I now know about the hormones in cow's milk and how they are, they're there to give a calf, you know, to grow a calf from a baby right up to an adult within 6 months. I think, what is that doing to a human when our milk doesn't have half as much? And I avoid dairy and whey at all costs, and I notice it now if I have it, and it goes right, it will go through you, goes right through you. It wasn't doing me any good, and cutting it out has certainly helped and helped me get to a part of the puzzle to get to where I am to be healthy now.
Basically, it's been a really long and at times utterly terrifying journey through dealing with this disease, but thankfully with a variety of things, you've got it really under control now, which is brilliant.
Much as I ever have, yes.
Yeah. So, and you mentioned your lovely husband, Gary, there. Now,
yes.
Gary is joining you on this plant-based journey of yours. I don't know how far along he is, but I know that he is taking a big interest. So can you tell us about how you've worked together on that?
I can. Well, how far along is he? That depends on the day, who he is and what he's doing. You can tell him all about it and advise and inform, but that won't work. But what works for him is, you know, but what works for him is an example. He saw how I got fit and how I changed my diet and lifestyle, and he's impressed. He said he's very impressed. It's inspiring. He's actually used that word, not me. And he wishes to do the same. So that works for him. If you show him an example, you do it. You don't tell him how to do it. You actually do it, and he sees it. Then he is way, way more on board. He'll come back with a jar of stir fry sauce, and he'll proudly announce to me, "Look, Elaine, it's vegan. Do you want some?" And he'll pop his veg. He'll be happily cooking away, pop his veg in the wok, and he'll stir fry this lovely vegan dish. Or he likes to come home and find something. He likes to say, "Look, I found this, and it's vegan, Elaine." He'll make it. And he's pretty much plant-based as much as he doesn't like to be boxed himself in and sort of restrict himself in that way. So he wants to be able to decide what to do, but, you know, I don't know when he last did that, actually. He's watched how I've done it. He's aware. So I will pop into conversations. We will, you know, we're chatting now and again. Oh, it's interesting because, and I'll pop in a few facts and those. But I won't go too preachy because that doesn't work with him. He will go the other way.
I don't think that works with anybody. And I think that's the massive mistake that lots of people make, is they start preaching and it really doesn't.
Yeah, he figures in the utter truth that it is a kind of a turn off. So as long as he can make the journey, he's cool.
Yeah,
and he's trying to lose weight and has done, and he's going to the gym. So yes, he's also, because he was a typical manager. We don't want to think that, but could have been a heart attack candidate. You know, the typical Scottish, really hard working guy that does a lot of them in.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, absolutely. One of the biggest killers. So he's made huge changes. You mentioned you're in Scotland, in the northeast of Scotland, and some people say, you know, oh well, I would be vegan, but where I am, it's just too difficult. And now I'm in Texas, and you're in Aberdeenshire, and we're both vegan.
Yeah.
I'm managing.
Yes.
So just tell us a little bit about where you are and what life's like around about you, and what you say to people who say, well, I can't be vegan where I am.
It's pretty interesting, and I have heard that. I live in a small hamlet just north of Inverurie, which is about 20 minutes north of Aberdeen, which is the oil capital on the coast there. So I'm slightly north of there. So I'm pretty rural, it has to be said. I'll tell you this, even over this past year or so, my parents, you know, our mum and dad, who are retired now, they love to go for a scone at a little place near Banff called Boindy, little self-plants, and it's got a lovely cafe, and they go there every Sunday and they do their crossword or read paper and have a scone, and it's lovely. And even then, and this is a tiny little place, about an hour from Aberdeen, on the coast, little fishing village, and even they have vegan scones. And I will ask everywhere, and there's a little place in, it's right on the coast up by a tiny little coffee shop, even they, I think, have got a vegan cake. I will ask wherever I go, and sometimes I will go back, and it doesn't do any harm asking, obviously, because I suppose that's backing up what they're hearing. So, someone is asking. And I've had people ask me when I was just on holiday the other week, we're down in Kinlochranach, which is all the rolling hills and lochs down there. So it's a tiny, tiny place. We stayed over a couple of nights. One cafe in the place, and I would go, oh, well, I couldn't see anything on the menu. You know, have you got any vegan? Well, even there, yes, she had. And she, even in the tiniest little village, there's a lady making her own vegan stuff and adding it on. Yes, it is harder. Like, the supermarkets, no, there's no room in the aisles. It's smaller, there's less stock, and they'll stock more sort of ordinary stuff. But yeah, I do sympathise with people that are in the sticks, but eating out certainly is a lot easier for them now than it ever was. So they could go with me anywhere and we would find somewhere. We would find something. We would manage. I could show them that.
And I think that your advice of just like asking is really good. And I know that I have emailed places and before this and said, oh, yeah, it would be really good if you had a vegan option. And that has made a difference and they have done something about it. But if people don't ask, then the restaurant owners and the cafe owners don't know. So
yeah,
things will never change. So my last question for you is, you're raising four teenage boys, and we spoke about that a little bit at the beginning, and about how difficult it is because if you'd known when they were babies, you would have done things differently, just as I would have done. So how are you managing to avoid teenage meltdowns in the house while slowly trying to make changes to their diet?
It's been the toughest bit. Mm-hmm. I can do myself easily, and Gary, he's a grown up and he knows what's best, and he can do it for himself. Yeah, for the boys, it's been the toughest bit. I allow them to take the mickey. I let them have a laugh. Doesn't bother me. Chicken or something, it's fake something. Oh, ficken, mum. Oh, is it, you know, are we having fees? Are we? Or, you know, they just take the mickey like that. But I don't mind, because keep the banter going, keep them on. The toughest bit, obviously, is Stuart loved his milk, and I felt great. And I encouraged him to get his calcium from his milk, didn't I? And I got Lewis into his chicken pie, saying, that's a good bit of chicken, get the steak down them. And they were eating all of those things quite successfully, unfortunately, as it turned out. You know, I made the baby food with the mashed up chicken and gravy. I would make bolognese and sort of mash it up with the baby food, you know. It made a lot of my own baby food. I mean, hey, thought I was doing well. Turns out I wasn't, because now they have a taste for all of that. And plus, of course, every menu is, you get a kid's menu, and it will be fish fingers, cheese and tomato pizza, macaroni, chicken fillets, or that's it, isn't it? That's your standard kid's menu. Of course, they like those things. They like pizza. They like burgers at school. There are hot dogs. So they like all that stuff. Unfortunately, now I know I really shouldn't have been giving it to them. Of course, they like it. It's full of fat and sugar. It's quite addictive. So it's been a challenge. What I started doing was cooking nice menu choices that I would have, like an enchilada thing or a wraps or something like that, and then present that. But that wasn't what they were kind of... That wasn't what their tastes were, what they were used to having. It was the basic. So that was too much of a big direction change. So then you suggested fake meats, which I hadn't actually bothered with on my vegan journey, because I like the veg. And I figured to myself, what's the point? If I'm not eating meat, why do I need fake meat? I don't need it. But it wasn't on my radar as anything worth bothering with, but to be honest, the usefulness it's been is to replace a sausage roll with a Linda McCartney sausage roll, which they will eat and they do like, and will cook themselves now even, so that's fantastic. Mayo has been a bit of a challenge, and then milk has also been a challenge, and substituting is hit and miss, because some of the kids, there's four in the house, will like one brand, and some of them will not, and they will like another. So I'm trying to remember which ones A, they all like, which ones so-and-so likes, which ones so-and-so doesn't like. But I'm getting there. What I've found is, in Scotland anyway, in the supermarkets here, the fishless fingers are a hit. They taste exactly like fish. So for anyone who's thinking to be going down this road and give it a go, do give it a go, because if I can do it, jeepers. If I can do it with four teenage lads, and they will eat what I give them now, you know, they're not, they are eating it and quite happy to eat it. And
So you went through a process of initially things were really challenging, they didn't want to eat what you were eating, and then now you're a couple of years down the line and they're quite happy with what's now being offered. It's maybe a little bit tricky, but...
Yeah, well, it's their type of thing. I've changed, instead of giving them what was my type of thing and saying, like, here, eat my type of thing and it's vegan, I've said, well, here's what you like, but it's a different version. And you can still have the beans with it. You can still have mayo, but here's veganese. I discovered that Alpro oat, he would refuse all milk in his cereal, but he loved a big breakfast. He would have two bowls of it. Well, only recently, just the past week or two ago, I've managed to get him to take this new oat milk, and he's having it in his cereal. And so now he's back to eating cereal with milk. So you will get there, people. You will get there. But if I can get fussy old Stuart to come round, you just bide your time. Easy ozy with it. I mean, don't push. Oh, but he would try it. So I got him to try it, and he did like it. So hooray.
Yeah.
But that he's the hardest. But then he does. He likes what he likes. So when he finds a vegan, if you find a vegan thing that he does like, you're on a winner, because he's decided he likes it. So that's what I've done. I've gone to the fake meats, and that is my end. And then I've now gone, Lewis will have a bit of pesto as well now, a bit of curry, and it will broaden out. They know, the thing is with teenagers also, I should also point out, they know about, I mean, we have lots of conversations about, you know, what's happening in the world, politics. I mean, and as we're chatting about various whatevers, I will casually chat about, you know, did you know, this happens on the farm with the dairy farm, and this happens and all this. And they'll chide me and they'll joke along, but they're listening. And I've had them say to me, I know it's better for me, Mom. I do accept, I do agree. And, you know, I will. But it with boys, with teenagers, you can't just say you are doing this, because you will get the absolute opposite result. They'll never do it. And then because I've educated them and kind of nice way, friendly mum chat way, and I hope that when they're older and as veganism awareness and people become knowledgeable about what's happening with all of that stuff, they will then, A, it'll be easier for them to decide to do it, and B, they'll do it anyway. So I'm just, come time. Whereas if I'd known what I know now, we wouldn't even have to take that journey.
For people that are parents that know these things are so lucky when they're born, and very few people are born vegan. No, that's not true. Everybody's born vegan, but very few people have parents that continue that vegan path for them. So I think a lot of people are probably in your situation just right now.
Oh, I would think so. Although I heard that millennials are raising an army of vegan kids, that was a headline I read. So
yes. Absolutely. So thank you for spending time with us today. I know that you've been an inspiration to a lot of people with your ability to take control of your own life through your fitness, your diet, and with your autoimmune disease that you're dealing with. And not only that, but then helping your teenage boys and your husband as well. So it's just fantastic. So do you have any other last words of advice for people listening? Or
And also, while you mentioned, I forgot to say, when I'm at my class, loads of people, they come up to me and say, I'm wanting to try fake meats, where do I go? Or I'm trying to cook this vegetarian thing, what's a recipe? Or I'm looking for a cake. So they're all coming to get knowledge. There's a huge interest there. It's a thing, it's that they're all really interested in wanting to find out more, and are telling me, oh, I've had a completely vegetarian meal last night. Oh, Lane, I cooked this vegan thing. So they're, you know, me just being there, that's normal and ordinary, and that's what we do. that's given them maybe no more of a feel to just go for it themselves as well. So yeah, it's another
very hopeful step. And that's in rural Scotland, you know, where you're surrounded by sheep and cows and what have you all around you, and you've got people who are interested in veganism. So thank you very much, Elaine. That was very interesting talking to you. Thank you for listening to Elaine's incredible journey from steak lover to vegan food and fitness lover. If you would like to travel with me to a new, happier vegan you, log on to veganonlineacademy.com to find out more about our inspiring courses that provide food for body and mind.